Now as we move into the 17th chapter of the book of Judges, we'd like to note that we're not sure just when the remaining events of this book did take place. We are told in this chapter that it was in the days when there was no king in Israel, and it seems to be implied in the 20th chapter and the 28th verse that Phinehas, the high priest, was still alive. So when we put these events together, in all probability, the remainder of this book of Judges occurred right after the reign of Joshua. When those elders who had outlived Joshua died, then these events seem to have occurred before the judges came in. So this portion of the book is not in the same chronological order that we would expect it to be, since these events more than likely occurred before the first judges began to come into Israel. Now, beginning with the first verse of chapter 17, "And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah." Now, Micah, we learn here, was an Ephraimite, and we're going to see some of the events that happened in his family that really began the practice of idolatry and the spread of idolatry in the land of Israel. Verse 2, "And he said unto his mother, The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursedest, and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it." So, somehow or other, Micah's mother had accumulated 1,100 shekels of silver. She'd saved these. And these shekels of silver were stolen from her. And so when she discovered they were stolen, then she put forth a curse on the one who had stolen them. And because this curse was so fearsome, and because Micah felt that he would bear the brunt of the curse since he was guilty of stealing them, then he owns up to his mother the fact that he's taken the silver, and he returns it to her. So while she was given this curse, she was doing it very loudly, right in the very ears of Micah, and it put the fear in him, and so he decided to bring the money back. And so he says, "Behold, the silver is with me, I took it." And his mother said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son." So rather than her have an undue amount of anger, rather than her refuse to forgive her son, once he'd repented and restored the money, then she did forgive him and she pronounced a blessing upon him. She turned from cursing to blessing. "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son." Now, we'd like to note here that these people did have some kind of a feeling for the Lord. They had some kind of a realization that there was a true and living God, and they did pay some homage to him. They did recognize him. But we're going to see where that they took the things of the true and living God and mixed them with idolatry, and this led to a great, great sin against God. Verse 3, "And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son." So she said this money has been dedicated to the Lord. Now whether she dedicated it before it was stolen or whether she dedicated it after it was stolen to assist her in getting it back is not stated here. But she said, I'd wholly dedicated it to the Lord. I reserved this money to be used for the Lord. But she says, to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. I want you to take this money. I had saved it for you, but the purpose that I had saved it for was so that you could make a molten image and a graven image. Now I will restore it unto thee. So we see how that she had a good motive on the one hand for wanting it to be wholly dedicated to the Lord, to the use of the Lord, but we see how she was most misguided in her zeal on the other hand by wanting it to be used to make a graven image and a molten image. For the graven and molten images were definitely forbidden by the law. The second commandment forbid the making of any image like in anything in heaven or in earth. And she was actually going against this second commandment. So verse 4. "Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. So he did restore the money, but notice she said that the money had been wholly dedicated to the Lord, but yet she only took 200 shekels of silver, less than one-fifth of the total amount. So there seems to be a discrepancy here. She dedicated it all to the Lord, but yet she was only using a small portion of it to the Lord. And if it be true that she was holding back and not actually giving all that she had dedicated to the Lord, then she would be in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, who secretly held back that which they had promised to the Lord. And they were in the house of Micah. Verse 5 says, "And the man Micah had a house of gods, and made an ephod and a teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest." So Micah had a house of gods. Some translate this as a house of God, with the word God being capitalized. Others translate it as a house of errors. But it seems to be a house in which he placed these idols, a room in his house that it was dedicated to serve as a little temple, a room that would be like a temple to the true and living God, although he desecrated it with these idolatrous trappings, and he even took a son and consecrated him, who became his priest. He made one of his own sons a priest, and of course we know that an Ephraimite was not to serve as a priest. So he had taken the things of God and changed them to his own liking, and consequently in doing this, he committed a grave, grave error, and this is an error that many people commit even today by changing the true things of God into things that are mockeries, into things that seem like they are images of what God would want us to have. And this is one of the very great ploys of Satan. He takes the true religion of God, and he makes a counterfeit religion, one that's very similar to it. Here we had a house of God like the temple. Here we have a priest who is really a false or fake priest. Here we have things that might represent the Ark of the Covenant and the cherubim. And consequently, it's a fake religion. And God will not take this. This is the beginning of idolatry in the land of Israel. And we're going to see how that it will spread. Well, we're going to close at that point for this time. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying goodbye, friends.